Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
One last time, loud as you can. How does it go? This is the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all year long, now all off-season long, by Bill Curry Ford, our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan is a fan of JoeBucksFan.com, the entire network, really. But he's been a fan of Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. And certainly, as this is the eve of Game 5 of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, a Game 5 that Boston is hosting in a 2-2 series with Columbus, I can only think and lament the fact that I'm not hopping in the car and heading down to Tampa Bay. This would have been the game I went to. Scheduling got in the way of me going to the first round, and obviously there were only two chances to go to the first round. Damn it. But this would have been my opportunity to sneak down from Tallahassee. And it stinks. It still stings. That President's Trophy is not going to console me whatsoever. Record-setting seasons, both for the team and individually. Steven Stamkos, for what he's done, franchise history. And Nikita Kucherov, what he's done in terms of point production in the last 25, 30 years. It's not consoling me right now. And so today, since there's not much news, no news on the assistant general manager's front, Al Murray, Pat Verbeek, what's going on, who's going to be elevated, and who's going to be heading up to Detroit to follow Steve Yzerman, I decided to take a look at the roster, and we're going to do so with some decent music. I don't know why, but I was feeling a little Boz Scaggs today, and then I'm going to play some Chicago after that, but we're going to go through player by player. Who is trending down, who's trending up, who's on the way out, who's too expensive, whatever. Whatever comes to mind as I go through the entirety of the Tampa Bay Lightning roster as we head into the offseason. And before I do that, I do again want to offer my sincere thanks to the folks at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show all season long. It's my first opportunity I've had to really go after a full non-football season in podcast form. Of course, the Scuttle Bucks is something we've done in the past year. JoeBucksFan.com, me and Jeff Cameron up here in Tallahassee. But a hockey season's a long year, man. And so that means that you got to make a commitment for six odd months. We were hoping for more. And I just want to take the time to sincerely say thank you to all of you who are listening, to all of you who are still listening, too. You guys are a little bit of a sadist. You got some qualities there. You like some pain if you want to continue to listen today, but I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate the sponsorship and support of this program, both by Joe Bucks Fan and Bill Curry Ford. Check out the selection today at BillCurryFord.com. So, without further ado, I'm going to go through the roster, and I'm going to sort it by ice time instead of points, because apparently points just don't matter all that much. Wasn't that proven to us? Here we go. Little Boz Scaggs. Lito. Whoa. There it is. Much better singer than I am, especially with the raspy, allergy-ridden air. Man, the allergens are ridiculous. I'm going to see an allergist between now and next season. I'm going to start the shots so I don't have this constant congestion on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I do apologize for that. But here we go. We're starting with the goaltenders here as they play the most. Eddie Pasquale, good story this year. That is one bona fide good story. Somebody who got drafted, I think it was way back in 2009, by the Atlanta Thrashers organization. He comes up and he picks up a couple of victories. His Tampa Bay Lightning career, we'll see how much longer it goes or if he's still with our minor league operation. But congratulations to Eddie Pasquale for living the dream, making it to the NHL, and racking up a couple of victories for us. Andre Vasilevsky. I think the injury helped him this year. Obviously, it kept him fresher towards the end of the season, but he wasn't anywhere close to his A game in the postseason. He seemed like a stationary target out there at times where he was in static position just hoping that the puck would hit his body. It didn't look like he was seeing the puck as well. Credit Columbus for some of the congestion in front of him, but there are times when he has x-ray vision, and while he was good, he wasn't nearly as good as he can be in the first round. Louis Domingue, he's a broadcast team's favorite. I think it's awesome that he set franchise records in terms of consecutive victories. Sun Sports likes him more than I do. We'll see what the backup goalie situation is moving forward. But a good season for Louis Domingue. He was fun to watch. Unorthodox, but fun to watch. Victor Hedman, the Norris Trophy winning defenseman. He won't win it this year, even though he's a finalist. And I think it was kind of weak that he was a finalist. Hit it, Boz. There you go. See, he hit those notes. Hedy was much better in the springtime. And it's unfortunate that he suffered the injury. I think now, at least, there has to be some mild concern moving forward for his career that injuries may derail a little bit of it moving forward. If you are predisposed, if concussion history is starting to follow you, and it's not too hard to re-injure yourself in that area, in a game like hockey, you're just going to have to be constantly careful. And I'm not saying that he needs to play 55 games a year instead of 80 out of precaution, because concussions are merely a reactive injury. There's nothing you can do about them proactively. So just here's hoping that he continues to play somewhere close to 65, 70 games the rest of his career, because if he does, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Ryan McDonagh, a tale of two halves plus four games. He was our MVP for the first half of the season. I wondered openly why we re-signed him, or extended him, I should say, for a long term without seeing more evidence, and he proved me wrong for about 40 games. And then he raised those concerns right back to the surface. I hope he was injured in the postseason, because short of that, I can't explain his poor play in games 2 through 4. And then also it was the game one mistake that really, really cost us, and I think sent us spiraling downward in the series to where momentum was never, ever regained. So Ryan McDonagh, he's a big piece of the future moving forward, because the contract says so. I need to see a little bit more consistency out of him. He can play great from October through January, but that won't teach us anything new. What he does from February into April and into the postseason will give us a better idea of who Ryan McDonagh is going to be in our organization. Anton Strålman, I'd bring him back for cheap. He's getting a little bit older, you can tell. His game has lost a bit of a step, but he's still a really good defenseman in transition. And isn't that the thing that cost us in the Columbus series, was we could not get out of our own zone and into transition. So Anton Strålman, I hope he's a piece of the puzzle moving forward. If he asks for too much money, then you got to let him walk. I mean, I'm not going to sign him for $4 or $5 million a season. We've got too much of a crunch moving ahead. Nikita Kucherov led all forwards this year. He had 1958 of ice time on average, 128 points. There's nothing he can do in the regular season really to top this. Even if he scores more, you know, goals or racks up more points, whatever, it's about the postseason. He has now been an afterthought, largely an afterthought for his last two playoff series. So, much like the team, nothing more he could do. He's trending up in the regular season, but he's trending downward in the postseason. Eric Chernak, trending up. Love it. What a year out of him. Let's not have a Jake Dotchin sophomore slump to where you become an anonymous part of the roster very quickly and in short order. I thought he was excellent with Ryan McDonagh. Hopefully you can pencil those two in together for the next few years to come as Chernak gets even more comfortable in his own skin. You know, the old standard is it takes 2.5 years before a defenseman really starts to show how good they can be. And if that's the case, by the time Eric Chernak hits game 200, he's going to be one of the better defensemen across the sport. So that was also part of the trade for Ben Bishop years ago when we shipped Ben off to L.A. Chernak came back in that deal. Good deal, Stevie Y. We'll miss you, buddy. Braden Point, 1855 this year is what he skated for on average, 92 points in the season for him. Pay this man. Pay this man his money. If you have to break up Braden Point with Nikita Kucherov and Tyler Johnson, that's fine. I really, as I said, I like the line with him, Yanni Gourde, and JT Miller. I think there's a lot of synergy there. So hopefully he doesn't cost us in the $8.5 million range. Hopefully he's closer to $6.5 million. But I have to say, his comment to the exit interview, I hope to be back, I expect to be back. If one sentence or two sentences can give me a little bit of concern, those do. I think he's going to make us break the bank a little bit more than his predecessors, Stamkos and Kucherov, Palat and Tyler Johnson, when they signed their second contract. We shall see. Steven Stamkos trending way, way up the last 2 years as a complete hockey player, trending downward as a captain. We need new leadership. But Steven Stamkos, the hockey player, is as good as he's ever been. And that's really good news because it looked like after his injuries, maybe that's the end of his heyday. But his prime, it seems, has been reborn. Mikhail Sergachev, he skated 1755 on average. He's still getting into that 200-game range. He's only 20 years old. So on the one hand, he's way ahead of the curve. On the other hand, I felt better about him coming out of last season than I do this past year. I'd love to see some more physicality out of him, but I just don't know that his body is going to grow into a place where he can be the presence like an Eric Chernak. Dan Girardi, goodbye. Gave us a lot of good minutes for a couple of years there. Really did enjoy what he brought to the table in terms of toughness when he was first acquired. Unless he wants to come in on a deal for, I don't know, you know, like $1.5 million, almost like the veteran's minimum, I would not bring him back. If he wants to come back that cheap, then fine. He can be your 6 or your 7, but his feet just look so darn heavy. Braden Coburn, I would bring back if you could get him at that mid-level defenseman price. I don't think you can obviously bring both he and Strawman back. If I had to pick, I'd probably pick Strawman. But Braden Coburn this year was reborn in terms of the way he skated, and I think that's going to end up netting him more dollars than we can afford on the open market should he want to test the open market. Tyler Johnson skated about 16 minutes this year, 15:57. 29 goals is nice. 47 points, not so nice. If you're playing an entire year with Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov, you got to get more production out of him. I mean, just plain and simple. The plus 15 I like. If the Lightning were to explore trading Tyler Johnson and he was willing to waive the no-trade clause, I'd be okay with that. He's a nice enough player, but if you're trying to get tougher, Tyler Johnson is not the way to do that. So that's where I'm looking at Tyler and saying, if you come back, great. If you don't, okay, no big deal. Yanni Gourde. Here's kind of an enigma. Yanni Gourde. He was given a long-term extension around $5 million. I don't have the figures in front of me. I think it was like 5.16, 5.17 a year. Yanni can be plug and play in your top six, or he can be one of your top checkers. I'd love to see him play with Braden Point next year. I'll be a broken record about that. I really do believe those two have synergy. But if you put him on a line with the likes of a Tony Cirelli and Alex Killorn, they're one of the better checking lines in the game. So Yanni Gourde is a valuable glue piece to the puzzle. The price is a little high, but then again, the market's only going to go up in the next few years as the salary cap continues to rise. Once you add Seattle as a franchise, that's only going to increase the value of the salary cap. So I think when you got him at an extension at five and change, it's a lot more reasonable of a price than when we signed Ryan Callahan to his extension, for example. Andre Palat, I like him. He's a good piece to the puzzle. He's unheralded. What did he have this year? So he played in 64 games, 34 points, 8 goals, 26 assists. He's always been one of your defensive stalwart types. He's never going to light it up for 35 goals. Even still, while I like his defensive ability, he needs to get more production out of his ice time. Maybe he's a bottom six forward moving forward. I don't know, but he's only 27 years old. He'll be entering age 28, so you would think he's going to be a little bit more productive as he enters his prime. Injuries have marred the last two or three seasons at different points for Andre. We shall see. Alex Killorn trending downward. He is kind of a gamer in the postseason. And let me say this, that if Alex Killorn scores the first goal in a playoff series, we're going to lose the series. If you recall, way back in the 2015 finals, he scored one of the most beautiful tip-ins you'll ever see. Puck going about 4 feet wide of the net. He tips it back in, 1-0 Tampa Bay over Chicago. We end up losing that game, losing that series. And in this series against Columbus, the first goal was a shorty, a little backhand, shorthanded goal, soft goal that Bobrovsky gives up. That was like one of our few bright spots in the postseason. But Alex Killorn is just kind of there. That's the player he is. He's very replaceable. But he could surprise you every once in a while. I feel like he'll go on a 3-week tear where he scores 6 or 7 goals, and then that's about half of the production for the entire season. He had 18 goals, 22 points, on the year, and he averaged 14.52 of ice time. Here's my favorite young player, Tony C, Anthony Cirelli, the Bold Father. He averaged just 14.51. That number is going up, folks. He's a good faceoff guy, a really good defensive forward, and he's a facilitator, a true center that can be a playmaker. He's got more hockey sense than you think. He's only 21 years old. He is a playoff-type guy. He is one that you don't build around like a franchise player, but he is a guy that if and when we hoist the cup, he will be a fan favorite, mark it down. Hopefully he plays closer to 18 minutes next year. JT Miller, I really like, but here's the question coming in the offseason. His no-trade clause doesn't sink in until 2 months from now, until July. And at that cap hit of $5 million or whatever it is, a considerable cap hit, do you need to make space as you're signing Braden Point? And then next year, Andre Vasilevsky is due a huge raise, and you've got to make some moves, be it Tyler Johnson, Ryan Callahan. Obviously, we'll talk about him in just a bit, but you've got to make some moves to free up some dollars. The cap is going to go up. You're going to get poached by Seattle in an expansion draft. So you're going to get some relief there, and obviously you can package a higher-priced player to Seattle with a draft pick or something like that. But you can really take control of your organizational destiny right here and right now. I would keep JT Miller, but I can understand those who say that he's not defensively responsible enough to entrust him with top 6 minutes. It's just you talk to your coaching staff, to your development staff. What do you think we can get out of this guy? It was smart to lock him up while we could because it makes him both a viable long-term option for this franchise, but it also makes him a viable trade candidate because once you're sending him to wherever it is, Ottawa, Arizona, wherever, whoever wants him, they know that they've got him locked in for quite some time, and then the no-trade clause kicks in as well. So big decision to come on JT Miller. Jan Ruta comes off the books this year. If he wants to come back for cheap, fine. I know the organization liked him, but he's, again, a very replaceable defensive piece to the puzzle. He's no Andre Schuster. I didn't loathe when he was on the ice, but he's your average guy. He's your bottom pair defenseman, maybe your seven defenseman. Seti P, Cedric Paquette comes off the books this year. If he wants to come back for 800 grand, $1 million, $1.2 million, you bring him back. He had a much better season this year, 13 goals in 80 games. He only played 12 minutes a night. That's a lot of production. And I thought he played a much more civil game this year. He was much more disciplined. So hopefully he continues that trend if we bring him back. If we don't, you know me, I'm not going to weep. Matthew Joseph started really fast, and after that, he was just kind of a meh player. He's got a lot of finesse to his game. He needs to learn the grit of the NHL. I thought we threw too much too soon at him. We wanted to roll him with the top six. I don't understand why. I think he's still one of your... He's a role player. He's a guy who's in and out of the lineup. I think in the next couple of years, maybe he could become more than just a role player, like a penalty killer, but not now. Hopefully the organization doesn't continue to try to fast-track him. It was kind of an annoyance of mine this year. Ryan Callahan, he's not coming back. There's just no way he's coming back. We're either going to buy him out or trade him. There are a couple of teams that certainly need to get to the salary cap floor, one of those being Ottawa. I think it's a perfect mate, a bedfellow to make a deal with Ryan Callahan. That is a young team who needs a little bit of leadership as they're going to have turnover and turnover for the next 2 or 3 years. Ryan Callahan could provide that, but you still may need to take on some of his salary in order to facilitate the deal. Then there is one of my favorite guys, and that is Adam Ernie. Adam Ernie, I do believe, is going to be a top six piece in about 2 or 3 years, but right now he should be an every night player on your third or your fourth line. He has the type of physicality and hockey sense that you need as an organization. He is somebody that you need to lean on moving forward. Danik Martell, I'm sure, is going to get more than a cup of coffee this year because of the numbers crunch, and we're going to have to say goodbye to a couple of forwards, a couple of household names. And then there's Corey Conacher, who we signed to a 2-year deal. It's a one-way deal next year. We did so knowing that one of our mini crunches was coming. This is not the big one. Next year is the big cap crunch. But certainly Corey Conacher gives us an opportunity to put a cheap commodity on the ice in the bottom six, probably the third, fourth line for most of the year. He can have a cup of coffee with your top six if you have injuries, but he does so at a really, really reasonable price. And so there it is. There really is nothing new in the front office. There's nothing new in terms of negotiations with Braden Point. The NHL entry draft, which is coming up next month, is the time when you may see some of these pieces moving, be it JT Miller, Ryan Callahan, a surprise name like a Palat or a Johnson, and then some signings after that, obviously, as July 1st is when free agency opens. But most of these decisions are going to be made in the middle of June to the middle of July. Hopefully we get better news soon about Braden Point's contract. If it's anything under 7.5, 7.5 or under, you got him for a steal. I don't have a great feeling that Braden Point is going to follow suit where Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman took discounts. I think he may want to get paid a little bit more. That's just the way restricted free agency is going these days. You could thank the Toronto Maple Leafs for accelerating that process, but hey, there are a lot of big RFAs coming up, and don't be surprised if you hear some talk about offer sheets. So the most important thing moving forward in the offseason is Tampa Bay has to figure out who their chief scout is going to be, who their assistant general manager is going to be. You got Pat Verbeek and Al Murray in that department right now. Respectively speaking, Pat Verbeek, if Steve Yzerman was still there as a president of hockey operations, you'd just elevate Verbeek and you'd keep Al Murray where he is as head of scouting. But Steve Yzerman is now in Detroit. So he's going to try and poach one or both of those guys. You've got to offer the AGM position, in my opinion, to Al Murray, who's been an excellent director of scouting. What we do in the middle rounds of the NHL draft is fantastic. So hopefully that's what we do. But that's going to help you as an organization define what you want to be over the next 2 months, which are a huge 2 months in determining how successful we will be as a franchise, say, in about 2 to 3 seasons. This is not the fun conversation, Tampa. I'd rather be in a 2-2 series in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, hosting Game 5 tomorrow. We aren't, though. And so while I'm enjoying good hockey around the league, except for that Carolina-New York series, which is trash, I can't enjoy my own team. You know, I bought a black Victor Hedman jersey, and I haven't worn it yet. I was going to wear it in the playoffs after we won a game. I guess that's going to have to wait. I don't even know if I'm going to wear it next regular season. Maybe I'm going to have to wait for next postseason. These are the issues of being a Tampa Bay Lightning fan. But hey, at least we've got a banner going up on opening night for the President's Trophy and another division championship. If that tickles your fancy, you'll be fine until September when camp hits. If not, you're like me. And we'll talk, hopefully, in October. Thanks again all season to you for listening and subscribing to this program. Thank you again to Bill Curry Ford for their support of Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. This is the final edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Unless something crazy happens in the offseason and they call me up and say, hit the mic, T-Lang, this is going to be it. So I will talk to you hopefully next season. Thanks again, Tampa Bay, and enjoy your spring.